You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest in this portion of the program is Eric Weiner. He's a self-described grouch and mope, but Eric Weiner must also be at least a bit of an optimist. He's a fan of self-help books. Eric Weiner is a correspondent for National Public Radio. Over the years, he's traveled to places of great unhappiness, reporting from many of the world's trouble spots. So one day there came a point when he found himself wondering, what would it be like to look for the world's happier places? And that led him to travel the world for a year looking for happy places and happy people. He tells the story of this search in his book, The Geography of Bliss, One Grump's Search for the Happiest Places in the World. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Celeste.
What kind of self-help books are you drawn to?
Oh, pretty much every kind. I have a whole shelf full of them back home, and my wife is a little embarrassed by this fact and tries to hide them from dinner guests. I think I'm not unlike a lot of Americans in that sense, and that, you know, it's a book that tells you that you just need to get in touch with your inner child or your inner journalist or inner whatever, and all will be well. I mean, that's mighty appealing. And so I've, over the years, just sort of accumulated them.
Yeah, hope springs eternal.
Exactly.
Do they work?
No. If they work, we would stop buying them, right? Wouldn't it be a $700 million a year industry? You would buy one and you'd be done for life, right? I think the main problem with what I call the self-help industrial complex in this country is that the main message they send out is, again, that you have to get in touch with your inner self and that happiness is to be found inside of you. And I actually think that is wrong, that most of our happiness is derived from events and especially people outside of us. It's our relationships with other people, our relationship to the environment. It is the kind of country, the kind of culture that we live in.
Yeah. Now, one of the first people you sought out on your journey was a fellow you call Dr. Feelgood.
Yes.
Would he agree with you with what you say is the key to bliss?
I'd like to think he would. You're speaking of Ruud Veenhoven, who runs something called the World Database of Happiness in the Netherlands. And he has compiled basically all of the research from the social sciences into what makes us happy and what does not. And if you look at the factors that he's come up with, a lot of them are things like quality of government, quality of relationships with others, relationship to nature. These are things that really are not, you know, they live inside of us, but they reside outside of us also. And I try to, in this book, basically sort of set the record straight or compensate for what I feel is a sort of confused and wrong message from a lot of the self-help books.
Yeah. Happiness, then, is very much related to one's quality of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And quality of place, which is really what my book is all about. It's about this relationship between place and happiness. And I think if anyone has ever, you know, gotten on an airplane, flown somewhere, and landed and thought, God, I could be happy here, knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, what about Moldova?
Ooh, we cannot be happy there. It is statistically the least happy country in the world. And I wanted to go there for two reasons. One is traveling to all these happy places was kind of getting me down. It was just, it was a bit too much. It's like being in a room full of really cheerful, happy people. You can't take it anymore after a while. So I needed a break, so I wanted to go to Moldova. And also, seriously, I thought I might be able to pick up some object lessons in happiness by looking at what life is like in the least happy country in the world.
Yeah. How do people in Moldova try to find a little bit of happiness?
Through booze, mainly, I would say. There's a lot of drinking goes on. That's not to say that drinking can't be a happy thing. In other countries I travel to, like Iceland, they seem to find great joy in their drinking habits. But in Moldova, it's drinking as anesthesia, I found. Mm. I've gotten some flack recently from Moldovans who have written to me and say, you know, why are you picking on us? Well, I'm not picking on them. In the first place, it is Moldovans themselves who, in these surveys, report being very unhappy. And I think one of the main reasons, it's not economic per se, although it's a poor country, but not nearly as poor as many sub-Saharan African countries, it is a lack of trust. They really don't trust one another in Moldova, and that's partly, you know, a hangover from communist times. It's a former Soviet republic. And I've found around the world that trust is the one non-negotiable when it comes to happiness. Without trust of others, of family, of course, but also trust of strangers, without that, you're going to be living in an unhappy place.
Yeah. If you were to ask a Moldovan what makes you happy, what kinds of things might you get in response to that question?
Well, I think it's the same things that make anyone happy. You know, it's, again, good relationships, doing work that you love and being paid a fair wage for it. It's creative outlets and being lost in the moment of a creative endeavor. It's enjoying a sunset or a nice mountain view. I think that the lack of trust and the sort of endemic envy you see in Moldova has eroded their ability to experience these things.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite place?
That's tough. I'd probably... comes down to two places, Bhutan and Iceland. I might give a slight nod to Iceland.
Why?
Well, I was surprised to find Iceland near the top of the happiness spectrum. In fact, I was living in Miami at the time and flew from Miami to Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland, in the middle of winter, and, you know, sort of counterintuitive flight path. And I wanted to see how the Icelanders can be happy in the middle of the cold, dark winter. And in fact, they have all these things I was just talking about. They have a sort of coziness and a warmth of human relations that I've never seen anywhere else. They have a creative spark, which was quite surprising to me. You know, you're probably familiar with Bjork, the pop singer, but mm-hmm. You know, there are many others, and they have a love of language and poetry. Just about everyone you meet in Iceland is an amateur poet. They publish more books per capita than any country in the world. And they drink, especially during the winter. But they drink in a way that I call bracketed indulgence. They'll drink like fish on the weekend, but if you touch a glass of Chardonnay or a beer on a Tuesday night, you're labeled a lush.
Mm.
So it's everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah, cozy is important to you, isn't it?
It is. That's why I think I love coffee shops, and I had a bit of a tough time in Miami because of the heat and the culture there. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to coziness, but in Iceland in the middle of the winter, coziness is not a luxury, it's a necessity. So you sort of curl up with a book and a coffee and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Was that something that was a revelation to you about yourself, or was it something you knew all along?
I guess it was something I knew but never articulated, because, I mean, coziness, it's a difficult quality to articulate, isn't it? I mean, what's cozy? You know, is it a chair? Is it a sweater? Is it a place? Is it a feeling? But I did find that feeling of coziness probably is the one most essential ingredient for my happiness.
Mm. You did a lot of traveling for this book, and you've done a lot of traveling as a reporter for NPR. To wrap up here, you got a tip for us, for those of us who will never log so many miles. What advice do you have for traveling well?
Traveling well. I would say embrace the notion of being disappointed. Don't have undue expectations for a place, because I think that's the key to an unhappy travel experience. You expect everything to go smoothly, you expect the weather to be perfect, and you treat every deviation from that as a problem and making your trip unhappy. Just get rid of that idea and lower your expectations, and you'll have a great time.
Eric Weiner, thank you.
Thank you.
NPR correspondent Eric Weiner. He is the author of The Geography of Bliss, One Grump's Search for the happiest places in the world. The book is published by 12 Books. You can tell Eric about your favorite happy places at www.12books.com or www.ericweinerbooks.com. And his last name is spelled W-E-I-N-E-R.
Earth and Sky.
Well, I think these exponentially growing technologies are going to transform everything we do.
That's Ray Kurzweil, best known for his projections into the future. They're based on what he calls the law of accelerating returns. That's the idea that once the base of technology has been developed, it grows exponentially every year. He spoke of this century's challenges.
We're going to clean up the environment and replace fossil fuels with renewable forms of energy. That's an exciting prospect. So all of these phenomena or trends will reach tipping points fairly soon and will be quite transformative within 20 years.
Also, how we spend our time.
We're going to be spending more and more of our time in virtual reality environments. We're ultimately going to be able to inhabit these full immersion, very realistic visual auditory virtual reality environments, including tactile communication. And that's going to merge with this phenomena of virtual worlds like Second Life, but they're going to become very realistic.
And even life expectancy.
According to my models, within 15 years, we'll be adding more than a year every year to your remaining life expectancy. So as you go forward, your life expectancy will actually move away from you. The sands of time will run in rather than run out.
I spoke with Kurzweil at the 2008 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Programs on WILL are made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, presenting To Everything a Season at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, March 8th at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The concert celebrates the work of Antonio Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Gloria and Kyrie with the U of I Chamber Singers. More information is available at 333-6280.
It's 1 minute before 3 o'clock. You're tuned to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft is our technical director. Today, the producer for the afternoon magazine is Harriet Williamson. We're getting way now to, ready rather, now to make way for the world that's coming up next here on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Mike Solis for forecast for Champaign-Urbana tonight, mostly cloudy and blustery with a chance for occasional flurries, the low 15, the wind from the north at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high around 30, the wind from the north at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly to mostly cloudy, the low 17. The outlook for Sunday, mostly cloudy, the high 33. It's 29 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The world is next. Stay tuned.